I think that as time progresses, the relationship between Canada and India will be similar to that of Canada and the United States of America. The 2014 elections in India were truly historic. The elections set an unprecedented participation and clarity of popular verdict. The people elected Prime Minister Modi. They also voted in favor of good governance and economic development. Prime Minister Modi has declared his commitment to the entire country, and he has demonstrated his commitment to all of the people in India and to the community while fulfilling the aspirations of the people. His developmental agenda provided peace and social harmony. How is Prime Minister Modi's style of governance similar to your style of governance as a diplomat?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for mentioning this point, because the coming into power of Prime Minister Modi has been such a refreshing change for people of India, because Prime Minister Modi brings such wealth of grassroots level experience. He comes from a very modest background, and he has before becoming the Prime Minister, he was Chief Minister of Gujarat, a province of about 60 million, for about 13 years. And because of his vision of governance, his vision of doing business and decision making, that province grew about 12-13% annually. So he comes with deep appreciation of the grassroots level challenges that India faces, and first-hand practical experience of poverty. And that is why he is personally deeply committed to getting India rid of the indignity of poverty. And because of his first-hand experience, he is able to actually address the issues which are hampering India's growth and empowerment of the poorest of the poor people. One of the first initiatives that he took was seriously push for financial inclusion. And he launched financial inclusion plan, which began with opening of bank accounts without any balance. So that the poorest of the poor people can have bank accounts. They should be encouraged to open bank accounts. And because of his drive, in just 1 year, 180 million new bank accounts have been opened from the families which did not have bank accounts.
Significant.
Yeah. So 150 million new bank accounts have given us unprecedented opportunity, first time in India's history, that the government has the ability to connect with all households in India, about 99.9% households in India, through the banking system. And that paves the way for direct transmission of benefits to the needy people. And the government has launched, in a modest manner, transfer of LPG subsidies. And about 140 million customers are now receiving their subsidies directly, which was not possible earlier because of inadequate banking connectivity. Similarly, Prime Minister Modi has launched a mega digital India mission, under which 700,000 kilometers of optical fiber cables are being laid. And by 2018-19, India will, this optical fiber cables will allow 250,000 villages to be connected with Wi-Fi, broadband connectivity, bringing in 600 million villagers into a digital world. Currently, we have about 1 billion mobile phone users. And the government's vision is to deliver all government services eventually through electronic means and preferably through mobile platforms. So the whole agenda is to empower the poorest, the most vulnerable people, and leapfrog from paper-based governance to mobile governance. And government to reach out to the people rather than people coming out and queuing before government offices. So there's a huge shift in the mindset of the governance and the bureaucracy and the government machinery. That itself is a huge change in last 2 years, 1.5 years. And as a bureaucrat, I feel so inspired by the energy, the commitment, the sense of national mission that Prime Minister Modi has inculcated in us. In my life, I have not seen that kind of collective, concerted energy in the people of India. I feel very fortunate that I'm part of this process in implementation of Prime Minister Modi's vision.
I think that Prime Minister Modi is definitely one of the most inspirational leaders in the world. The amount of work that he's done in terms of helping people, improving the society as a whole, strengthening international relations and affairs is beyond remarkable. And I think that people going into politics or anyone wanting to pursue international relations and affairs would benefit from watching Prime Minister Modi and learning from the work that he's done. Truly an inspirational politician, inspirational leader, and inspirational person as a whole. The next question I wanted to ask you is, what should be done in order to reform and modernize India's infrastructure and government as of today?
Limited infrastructure had been the biggest handicap India faced, and that was the biggest bottleneck that India's manufacturing sector faced. And that is why Prime Minister Modi, given his first-hand experience of governance and development, he has made several major initiatives to firstly improve the ease of doing business. Secondly, make the process of decision-making in the government transparent and time-bound and efficient. And also some systemic deficiencies and inconveniences that in Indian system presented to foreign investors, like complicated procedures, cumbersome compliance systems, several numbers of clearances and approvals to be obtained. So all these are being addressed in a very systematic manner. And the government has unleashed massive reforms in easing the process of doing business. A single portal for business clearances, business process, and several government services has been launched. EBIS portal has been launched. A single window for Make in India has been launched. And a large number of rules and regulations have been revised, and many more are being in the process of revised. The government's vision is that all documentation should go online, and the forms should be drastically simplified. The number of filings that any businessman had to do has been reduced very drastically. And also, this is all a concerted collective effort to make India an easy place to do business. Big infrastructure projects earlier suffered from a disjointed process of governance in very weak coalition government. And that is why Prime Minister Modi's majority government has brought unprecedented integrated approach in governance. So now, for the first time after 30 years, all government ministries are working as one unit, and that has very significantly eased the process of clearance, process of decision making, and brought a coherence in governance. Several hundred projects which were stalled because of environmental clearances or some decision making difficulties, they all have been cleared. And Prime Minister Modi has been very swift in taking decisions in a holistic manner. And also he has instituted a very high-level monitoring mechanism for infrastructure projects. Therefore, we are very optimistic that we'll see very significant upgradation of infrastructure in the next 5 years. And also Prime Minister Modi is very deeply committed about energy efficiency and environmental sustainability. We have very ambitious plan of going massive for programs for clean energy, 100,000 megawatt of solar energy, and 60,000 megawatt of wind energy are to be added by 2022. We feel that under this dynamic leadership, we have opportunity of leapfrogging to the best and greenest and most energy efficient infrastructure, and avoid mistakes of some other countries which have done 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
The next question, Consul General, that I wanted to ask you consists of one pertaining to national standards. Mm. What steps do you think should be taken in order to encourage an increase in foreign direct investment between India and other parts of the world, such as India and Europe, along with India and Asia? Mm. At the same time, how do you think that these standards can excel as time progresses?
Oh, thank you. As you can understand, in the modern context, all countries are interconnected, all economies are interconnected. And eventually, the process of making a decision on investment involves weighing of pros and cons and relative benefits, relative merits. India is unique as a market. India is unique as a provider of very high quality skilled manpower. And India is also a very important base for, given its strategic location, very strategic base for manufacturing. So far, our manufacturing had been hampered because of poor infrastructure. So we are working very hard to take care of our infrastructure deficit. Secondly, the bureaucratic procedures for clearances and processing of investment proposals had been an issue in the past. They are also being tackled very seriously. For Prime Minister Modi, FDI is not just foreign direct investment and requesting other friends to come and invest in India. FDI for him means first develop India. Make India an easy and attractive and lucrative place to do business. And taxation reforms are also a big part of Prime Minister's agenda. We want to have taxation regime which is business friendly, which is convenient to administer and monitor and comply with, and also is transparent, predictable. We are working on many fronts, one on policy front, and the second on ground level infrastructure work to make India a much better place to invest and do business with.
Where do you see India in 10 years from now?
We feel that given the demographic advantage, given the range of skill sets we have, given the strategic location, and also the democratic solidarity that India enjoys as a free, vibrant, democratic, pluralistic society, India will have to play a much greater, India will play a much greater role in political as well as economic field. Currently, India accounts for 1/6 of the world's population. But by 2030 or so, India will account for 1/4 of the skilled manpower pool. By 2030, India will account for 1/4 of the entire world's graduate population pool, graduate degree holders. And also, in terms of its economic potential, it's going to grow. Our huge population used to be a big drag because it was illiterate, because it was underfed. Now, with rising literacy level, rising skill sets, our youth would be our biggest asset.
Consul General, Mr. Akhilesh Mishra, are there any final words you would like to leave for the listeners today?
I would like to once again express my profound gratitude to your great country, Canada, and wonderful province of Ontario. The people of Toronto are amazing. And you inspire me every day by your kindness, your hospitality, your spirit of inclusiveness and welcoming society. And also the profound values on which Canadian society is based, values of caring, values of sharing, values of giving back to the society, working together. These are hugely inspiring to me. And as an Indian, I feel blessed to be in such a great friend of ours, Canada. And I wish and I pray for continued success and glory of Canadian friends. Yours is a great country. Yours is a glorious country. And India-Canada friendship will be a matter of pride for both of us. And anything I can do to any Canadian friend to help building linkages with India, I'll be privileged. And I'm always accessible. Email is the easiest way to reach me, and I'm available 24/7.
Thank you very much, Consul General, Mr. Akhilesh Mishra. This has been an honor seeing you in person. I'm very impressed with the work that you do for the community here in Toronto. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
Once again, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking time.